was to get our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, as touching, leading and perception, and following the leading of the Spirit, our eyes are open to behold Christ's thought from the written word. We receive it with clarity and with precision. We'll learn much more as your word is taught. As regards all, I will receive in the new birth, touching, leading, and perception. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, we're looking at following the leading of the Spirit, right? Following the leading of the Spirit. So, this is the second part, right? We started off in the beginning of the year, right? The first part, part one. I'm learning that from Pastor Sheldon. Amen. So, part one, we discussed about recognizing the voice of God. Was that it? Right? Distinguishing God's voice from visions, dreams, and what again? It was three, right? Vision, dreams, and something else. Okay, so get the message. So, but this is the second part, and we are in section 7, right? Section 7, and we still have many more weeks to go. Okay, we're going to teach this into Believer's Convention. Hallelujah. So, we're looking at following the inward witness. Matthew 28, from verse 16, right? That what we're looking at? From verse 16. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus has appointed them. Right? Right? And I said, this word, Galilee, or I said, as we get prepared for Believer's Convention, I'll begin to look at Holy Ghost meeting. This will become much more clearer why we have to start from here. Hallelujah. So, it says, verse 17, and they saw him and worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's the word exousia in the Greek, authority, is given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 16. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Now let's start from verse 14. There's something I need to show you there. He said, afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 and sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He now says, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. He said, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. See, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, right, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Did you see that? With the Lord walking with and confirming the words with signs following. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke 24. From verses 45, he said, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. And he said, thus it beholds Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, and that repentance and the remission of sins will be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, and ye are witnesses of this thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, witnesses of this thing. Now look at John. John. Now take note of the word that he used. The underlying word from Matthew, Mark, Luke will be the nations, right? It's not the nations, the whole earth. But look at John. You know, someone once said, John didn't mention the nations. No, John actually did. Right? John actually did. John 20, 1 verse 22. It says, and he said to them, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So whosoever says ye remit, I remit, and whosoever ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah. He said, whosoever. Now, remember I said, when you hear the word whosoever, don't expect you see Jesus talk about whosoever in John 3. Hallelujah. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will give the world. That is exactly what it is. Hallelujah. So you have to read the scriptures together. Something very vital for you to say. Hallelujah. So we said this will be Jesus' instructions within the 40 days, right? And that instruction will proceed from his teaching. He taught them. Acts 1 verse 3. He taught them for 40 days. Now he said this will be instructions in the teaching, right? Now we said something. We said he gave that instruction. I would expect anybody that would study, listen to this message to start from part 1. That was why I mentioned it. And then start from track 1. Don't jump to track 7 or section 7. No. Amen. Because there's an order to we got here. Amen. So you have to follow that. Hallelujah. So he says, so we said he gave that instruction from Galilee. Right? Right? He gave the instruction from Galilee. And he gave it from Galilee because in scriptures, we said geography will play a vital role in theology. Right? Geography will play a vital role in theology. So he stands in Galilee and he says, go into all the nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So geography will play a major role in theology in scriptures. For example, we looked at Mount Moriah. Hallelujah. Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. Abraham went to Mount Moriah with Isaac. Right? Hallelujah. And what was the sign of his teaching to Isaac? He was to offer him. This that was to show him offering. So there will be a, so what Moses, what Abraham was doing is a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Hope you're following me. In John 8:52, Jesus speaks that. To make you understand that it's important in theology. Hallelujah. Jesus speaks that in John 8:52. And look at what Jesus said. He says, right, 52, yeah? Okay. Actually, 56. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So when he said, rejoice to see my day, where did he rejoice? On Mount Moriah. He said he saw his day for Mount Moriah. Hallelujah. So the question you would ask is, what is his day? His day was referring to his day in redemption, death, burial, resurrection, right? So he said Abraham saw his death. Was that not what Abraham signified? Right? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Look at what Abraham did. He died of his son. Okay, people thought they wanted to kill him, but he was showing because it was a teaching class. Hallelujah. Amen. So what did he do at the end? After I tied him, he brought him back. Right? To show that there will be death and there will be resurrection on Mount Moriah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. And who did he take to Mount Moriah? His only son. Genesis 22:4. He took his only son. Hallelujah. Only son. When you have the word monogenic form, when you have the word only begotten son, uniquely born son. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following that. So he took him to Mount Moriah. Hope you're following that. So where did Jesus die? Jesus died in Golgotha. Golgotha. Also called Calvary in Latin. Calvary is a Latin word. Hope you're following Calvary in Latin. Golgotha. And where is Golgotha? Golgotha is actually Mount Moriah. Hope you're following me. So Jesus died on Mount Moriah. are following that. Jesus died on Mount Moriah. So you see, geography plays a major role in theology. We looked at another geographical location. Before I talk to you about how later I get there, let's look at Jordan. Another geographical location will be the Garden of Eden. But we'll get in there shortly. Maybe not today. Hallelujah. Another location will be Jordan. Right? Jordan. When you hear Jordan, Jordan is a location. When you hear Jordan, it plays a major role in theology. Hallelujah. Because the Jordan experience will be a replay of the Exodus experience. Was that what we saw? Will be a replay of the Exodus experience. What do you have in the Exodus experience? Or put it this way, what do you have in the Exodus experience, or you call it the Red Sea experience? Hallelujah. Why a replay? Because we saw that the generation that came, that left Egypt, did go to Canaan. Okay, follow me. That generation perished in the wilderness. Numbers 14. Okay, 1 Corinthians, let's start from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen? Okay, no, I mean 1 Corinthians 10, it says, hope you are with me. It says, verse 5, it says, but with many of them God was nowhere pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You see that? They were overthrown in the wilderness. Look at Hebrews 3:17. Hebrews 3. Verse 17. It says, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was he not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Did you see that? Hallelujah. And when they read this, they were reading from Numbers 14:29. Numbers 14. I'll start from 23. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear the evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that are numbered with you, numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein. Saith Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, they will I bring in, and they will know the land which ye have despised. Did you see that? But for you, your carcasses shall, but for you, your carcasses, they will fall in the wilderness. Hope you're following me. Numbers 14. Hope you're with me. Hallelujah. So that means the generation that left Egypt didn't get to Canaan. Amen? Amen? They didn't get to Canaan. They all died in the wilderness. So that is why he will now write to them again concerning, they will not have to experience the same thing their fathers experienced, the Jordan experience. Hope you are following this. Amen? They will have their own experience, their Jordan experience. Amen. Remember how Paul will call what happened to them in the Red Sea. He said they were baptized into Moses. Did you see that? They were baptized into Moses. And in their world, remember I told you, when it comes to Bible interpretation, words you must understand words in their context, right? Words in their context, to know words in their context, you have to consider the audience. So audience play a major role in theology or in interpretation. Audience. So you have to know what was obtainable in their world. Hope you're following me. You have to know what was obtainable in their world. For example, evil in their world is not evil today. Hope you know that. Evil in their world. It can't be evil in our world today. So you can't read evil in our world into their world. So you have to find out what is evil in their world. Hope you're following me. Amen? You can't read them together. You can't read judgment in our world as judgment in their world. No. You'll be missing it. So that means you have to sit in the seat of the first audience, because words will be characterized first by their audience. What was happening in their immediate world? What are you following me? Very vital. The Bible students. So you have to know. So words don't get their meaning from dictionary. No. Words get their meaning from context. How it is used. And context would go down to what was obtainable in their world. What was he writing about? Remember I told you, what? Ask yourself, what question was he solving? Right? With God's words. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Okay, let's go for the idea. So they will get to Jordan. So water in their world, right here, baptism, water. Water is used for cleansing, for new beginning. A new beginning. Hallelujah. A new beginning. So Jordan, when they got to Jordan, remember when they passed the Red Sea, they had the Passover, right? Come on. What was the Passover supposed to mean? They have crossed over. A new beginning outside Egypt. Did you see that? Right? Right? So the Red Sea experience was a sign of it. Hope you're following me. There's a new beginning outside Egypt. Hope you're following me. So when you look at what they sang, the song they sang was concerning what God has done. Hallelujah. I need you to follow me closely now. Now, they get to Jordan. Not the same people, a new generation. Right? Remember we saw, that will be the reason why Moses will write to them again, Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 was because of it was a new generation. Right? It's not, the first 10 commandments was written on tablets of stone. The second one should be, but not on tablets of stone. It's not. Calm down, be calming down. Hallelujah. So it's to two different audiences. The first audience perished in the wilderness, so he rewrites it again to the new audience. Hallelujah. And that will now, something we'll see when we begin to look at some critical things when it comes to Bible interpretation, how the words he will now use. Because it was writing to a different audience. Okay, follow me. So that will now inform his choice of words. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they get to Jordan. A new generation, right? Get to Jordan. So the Jordan experience will imply there will be a new beginning outside the wilderness. Right? Remember we said Egypt will represent the world. Right? Right? So out of Egypt, right? So the Red Sea will be out of Egypt. So the wilderness from the, let me put it like this, the wilderness will now be to them as what? Are walking the world today, right? Now, those that came out through the Jordan to Canaan, what will be the world? Or what will be darkness? Wilderness to Canaan. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Just for you to see that. So that means Jordan will imply a new beginning, right? A new start. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Another time we'll see Jordan again, we'll be with Elisha and Naaman. Elisha and Naaman. Because in their world, listen to me, look up. In their world, generations after that now make reference to Jordan experience. Amen? So Jordan will be a place for a new beginning because their parents all perished in the wilderness. So they are having the new beginning. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Now, in their world, when they are to refer to a new beginning, especially the prophet, they will refer to the new beginning and they will have Jordan experience, that generation. Hope you're following me. So now, Elisha comes in and here is Naaman. Naaman is having leprosy. Right? And leprosy is outcast. Hope you know that. Outcast. Away from God's presence. Right? I need to see the theology in there. Hallelujah. There's a theology in there you need to see. So he gets to the prophet. And the prophet said, go wash in Jordan. Amen? Go wash in Jordan. That will be the theology. That is to say, there will be a new start from the Jordan. Okay, that is the theology you have to say. It's not. There will be a so Jordan will be a restart, right? Right? So now here comes Naaman. Naaman comes to the prophet and he's having leprosy. Now I said I want you to see the theology. Now he comes with leprosy. And how are lepers treated? They are away from the people, right? Come on, away from the people. He used to show, permit me. It shows unbelief, darkness away from God's presence. Right? Glory to God. So now he comes in and he meets the prophet. And the prophet said, go wash in Jordan. And he used 7 times. No, we're not dealing with 7 today. Amen? They go wash in Jordan 7 times. Now watch the theology. Why Jordan? You know, Naaman asked that question, why Jordan? Some people, I know I've said this before, so it's not funny, but they, Naaman was trying to deal with him. You know, as a prophet, sometimes you use a prophetic office to deal with some people. We took him to the deadliest river, so that he can wash. But there's a theology there. Elijah wasn't just trying to show. Elijah was specific. He says, send him to Jordan. Hallelujah. And in their world, Jordan will imply a new beginning. Hallelujah. Redemption. So he sends him back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, follow me. Something we're going to see. Just watch the theology. So Naaman goes to Jordan, washes 7 times, and on the 7th time he was made okay. In fact, his body became brand new. Watch the theology. The theology is that there will be a new beginning. Okay, follow me. That is the theology. And he comes back to the prophet and he offers a gift and the prophet says no. And he says, let me carry the sand from here. What does it mean to carry the sand? That would be worship. So what would you find in a new beginning? Worship. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So, but just see the theology there. Jordan will be a new beginning. So I'm showing you this so that you will see that Elisha sending him to Jordan was there's a theology in it. Amen? Elisha sending him to Jordan was not show off. It was theology. Glory to God. It was theology. There was a theology in it. Hallelujah. To show that, this is where we came out from. We came out from the wilderness through the Jordan. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Amen. Just see it all. It's just together. Hallelujah. So, in Jesus' day, what happened? John was preaching, and where did John go to baptize? You know, John's baptism, I showed you from Acts 13, what would be John's baptism? John's baptism would be his doctrine, his teaching, right? So he will not illustrate it. What would be his teaching? One who will come, right? Right? One who will come after me. He says, he taketh away the sins of the whole world, right? So he will be teaching about God's redemption, God's new beginning in the Christos, right? Come on, look up. I hope you're following me. God's new beginning in the Christos. And then he goes to illustrate it in the Jordan. So he goes to the Jordan again. Why does he go to Jordan? There are other rivers in Israel. He didn't go there. He went to Jordan. Why Jordan? He didn't go to Bethesda. He didn't go to other rivers. He went down to Jordan. Why? To show them, because in Israel, the Jews have it in their mind that Jordan means new beginning. Okay, follow me. So he goes back to Jordan and he begins to baptize for them to see that there will be a new beginning. Where? In the Christos. Okay, follow me. So he plays a major role in theology. Listen to that. That is location, geography. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory, glory, glory. Just the same way Jesus got to Caesarea Philippi and he asked them a crucial question. Question is, why did he ask them that question before they got to Caesarea Philippi? He asked them in Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? What was he trying to do? He was trying to make them see that Caesar is not Lord, I am Lord. Did you see that? Amen? Very important. So the same way to Galilee, he gets to Galilee. And he gives them instructions to the nations from Galilee. Why? Because Galilee, in Matthew 4:23, Galilee is called Galilee of the Gentiles. You see that? Galilee of the Gentiles. Jesus was born, come on, first of all, Galilee is called Galilee of the Gentiles. In Isaiah 9:1, when we read, we saw that Galilee is called Galilee of the Nations. You see that? So that means we are called Galilee of the Nations because in Galilee you have different nations, different tribes gathered. Like you call it the Lagos of their day. Amen? Remember I've been saying this. Lagos is not no man's land. We have several lands here. Amen? Amen? We have non-indigenous people have empires in a land that is not theirs. Right? But they have people there. Glory to God. They have different nations there. So it's called Galilee of the Nations. Hallelujah. To make you know how important it is. Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee. Why? To make you know his ministry for the whole world. Amen? So Galilee is used to signify, is a place that signifies the whole world. Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? Nazareth is in Galilee. Okay, follow me. So, Galilee was mocked. Nathanael mocked Nazareth. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Referring to Galilee because it's a place of the nation. Not because it's a swamp. No, it's because it's seen as mixed multitude. Amen. Not because it's a swamp. No, but it's mixed multitude. No, can anything good come out from Nazareth? Hope you're following me. Because, Nazareth. No, it will be to be pure Jews. If God was to do it, it would be pure Jews. That place is polluted. Hope you're following me. But out of Nazareth came out the Messiah. Because the Messiah is not the Messiah of a country, but the Messiah of the nation. What are following? So Jesus goes back again to Galilee and he sends them into the nation from Galilee. So that will be important in theology. Hallelujah. Very vital in theology. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So that said, we say that the instruction of Jesus, we say it will be instructions of the scriptures, right? We say it will be instructions of the kingdom. What about what we said? Instructions of the scriptures, Luke 24:27. Instructions of the scriptures, right? Luke 24:44. Instructions of the kingdom, Acts 1:3. Concerning the kingdom of God. And we say it will be instructions in theology. So that means in theology we'll have instructions. And they will be called instructions of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So instructions of God. That said, we'll begin looking at this. We said at the background of Jesus' teaching, we'll have the 39 books, right? Right? And Jesus read from the 39 books. Because that time will not permit me today. There are some things that will show us as we progress on this series. Hallelujah. So Jesus read from the 39 book. Jesus used the words of the men he chose. The words of the men he sent before time. Hallelujah. He used their words. He didn't, you know, like I said to us, you know, Jesus could have come and said, okay, you know, yeah, Moses, imagine he's just a Nigerian guy. Moses is my guy. Don't worry, don't worry. Everything Moses said, I like it. They are my words, but don't worry. I want to give you higher breed. I want to give you higher words. But no, he didn't do that. Hallelujah. He didn't do that. He restricted his theology. Listen, he restricted his theology to the words of the men that he used, that he sent from Genesis. Hallelujah. Jesus restricted his use of words to the words used by Moses and the prophets. That would be very vital in theology. He didn't say, Moses has said this, so let me say my own. No. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He didn't say Moses has said this, so now I want to say my own. He aligned his words with the words of Moses. Very important. He tells you the character of God. In honoring the men that he sent. Much more, he also tells us that as believers, our theology must be restricted our theology must be restricted to the 39. Okay, from Genesis must be restricted to the scriptures. Words used in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Very vital. Must be restricted. Any word, or I have here, any knowledge of God that you think you have outside the written word is not about God, is idol worship. Every knowledge you think you have about God outside the written word is idol worship. Because, you know, reading the scriptures in itself is worship. Have you know that? Studying the scriptures is worship. So when you now have knowledge outside it, is idol worship. Hallelujah. You know, but the spirit, the Spirit of God appeared to me and told me I should forget Moses. Watch that story. It's coming from your grace. No, it's coming from it's the spirit from the hell. It's the spirit from hell. Watch it. It's not of God. Because we said at the beginning of this series that what? The spirit and the word agree. Right? We saw that, right? They agree. They are one and the same. Hallelujah. So a good disciple will also teach like Jesus. He will restrict his use of words to the use of words used by in scriptures. The apostles, as we saw, restricted their explanation of God to scriptures. They restricted it to scriptures. In fact, we said last week, we said their explanations of the incarnation, or the explanation of the incarnation, is that they did not explain it as anything. They didn't say it as a story, right? Because if they had said it as a story, there were other people who had Jesus' gifts outside them. Hope you know that. Jesus' gifts went around town. Amen? His gifts was everywhere. Sure you know. His gifts was everywhere. People had his gifts. Amen? Gifts lovers. I mean, she is gifts lover. This lover had Jesus' gifts in town. Linda Ikeji had it in town. She was on several tweets. People were just using words to just talk about the spirit, but no. They didn't write it like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did they write Jesus' incarnation? They wrote Jesus' incarnation as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Scripture fulfilled. And they wrote it so that you will go back again and reread the scriptures. And they read the scriptures. We said Matthew will begin from Matthew. Look at Matthew 1. He calls it the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. When you use the word generations, we said, is the word in the Greek that points back to Genesis. It's the word in the Greek, Genesis. The book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. Showing you that what is writing about, or showing you that the Genesis is the Genesis of Jesus. So you have to go back again and reread the Genesis. Hope you are following me. So there's no way you pick up the four Gospels and not go back again to Genesis. So before you get to read Matthew, what he's telling you, what I'm writing is the Genesis of Jesus. So you have to go back to the Genesis and read it as the Genesis of Jesus. So Matthew will use words like that, it might be fulfilled several. Why? That you go back again and reread that this is scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we following this? Glory to God. If you look at Mark 1, verses 1. Mark employed the use of another word. It uses the word arche. It says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see that? And it's written in the prophet. He sends you back again to the prophet. Then he uses the word arche. The beginning. When you hear the word the beginning, your mind goes to Genesis 1:1. Bereshit. Roshit. Hallelujah. He takes your mind back again to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you have the word there, Bereshit, Roshit, used for a new beginning. So he's telling you what I'm writing is the same thing in Genesis 1:1. The new beginning fulfilled in the Christos. Are you following me? So he gives you that background. Hallelujah. Are you following me? John 2 will use it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. It takes you back again for you to see that it is from the Genesis. The Genesis. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So the last time, which is last week, we said what you find in Genesis, which is from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:3, will be the spirit work. Was that what we said? To be the spirit work. It said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth. Remember we said, where was the focus? We're talking about the heart of man. It said, God created the heavens and the earth. Telling you what God will do. God's marriage will be between God and man. God created the heavens and the earth. Said, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God. Did you see that? That will be the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God hovers over the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. I mean, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. And God said, so let there be light. So what is God's work, God's task in unbelief? Light be. Right? Let there be light. Now when you use the word let there be light, it carries the weight of that word in Exodus 3. I am light. I am. So God said, I am light. That is, I am that solution. Hallelujah. So we say it will be God's work, right? It will be the Spirit's work in the heart of man. Hallelujah. And we say at the background will be what? The leading of the Spirit, light. You see that? At the background of that word, that sentence made by God, I am light, the background will be the leading of the Spirit. And what will be the leading concerning? Chapter 1 verse 26. Let's make man in our image. Let's make man in our image, this heavens and the earth. Exactly. Let's make man in our image, heaven and the earth. Let's make man in our image, is that light and darkness? That is Genesis 1:3. This is that. Let's make man in our light. Let him have dominion. He employs. Now there's something I wanted to share with us, but I'll do that some other time. But you just need to know. Look at the use of words. You use the word, you know, I've heard someone said, why is it that it was from Samuel? It was from debate online. Why is it that it was from Samuel we begin to hear of kingdom narratives? And it was just so easy to see. Just easy to spot. Amen? Remember I told you, the basic thing in Bible interpretation is to understand that he was writing to an audience. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. So most of some of the things that we learn in church, I think that you might not necessarily, like Pastor Shekou would say, there are not necessarily things you might start seeing, you know, but you answer some of those questions and you say, no wonder Pastor taught us it ahead of time. Amen? Because the use of the word, he said, he didn't employ single words. Because in their world, they have kings, right? But the use of the word kingdom was not really that pronounced. When you get to the book of Samuel, it was now very much pronounced. What you had in their world was nation, right? But in the world of Samuel, when it gets to that point, kingdom was now being pronounced. But they were kings before them. That was why Moses would tell them, do not look at other nations and say you need a king. You see that? Amen. Use the word nation. So, but yes, he used kingdom narrative. Words like subdue. Dominion. Those are kingdom narratives. You can't rule that out. Hallelujah. Because wherever you use to find the word, like we saw on Sunday, right? We saw the use of the word subdue, right? It's used in relation to land, territories. So that is, those are kingdom narratives. Hallelujah. So if you let them have dominion over the surface of the over the fishes of the sea, right? There is Genesis 1:26. Okay, look at 27. And God created, so God created man in his image, after his image created, he male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them and God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. And he repeats it again. Hallelujah. Amen. So he repeats it again in Genesis 1:26. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. The power of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. Now, let's look at this. So if we say this is the leading of the Spirit, So what will be the leading of the Spirit concerning? God's task in the air. Did you see that? Did you say that this is the leading of the Spirit? That means God's leading will be towards his task in the air. Amen. So, I told you. But we're going to see, let's see more. Let's see more. Genesis 2 verse 5. I'm supposed to come here. Okay, Genesis 2 5, quickly. Genesis 2 5. Are you there? So when Paul says as many as are led, you know you must, let's get to Genesis 2. When Paul now says as many as are led by the Spirit, you must see the background in Genesis and Exodus. Okay, follow me. You should see, to be clear, he was writing from Genesis and Exodus. Hallelujah. So look at the five. Say, every plant in the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew, for the Lord has not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. So that places functionality on God's man. What is the functionality of God's man? To till the ground. You see that? That is the function of God's man. That is God's leading for his man to till the ground. And what does it mean to till the ground? To till the ground does not mean you become a farmer. No, God is using their world. So the word till, there is the word abad. Right? Abad. Abad is a word used for a priest. So God's task for his man is to become a priest. His priest. Hope you're following me. So God's man, whose presence, God's man will till the ground. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Look at verses 15. Okay, look at verses 8. First of all, and God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he pulled the man which he had formed. Did you see that? Which he had formed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember verse 7? Hope you could remember verse 7. And Lord formed out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils. We saw the meaning of that word breath, right? And futsal. Right? Right? And man became a living soul. Have we seen that? Okay, just get back to it. Just looked at all that. So, God put man in the garden. Is that living? God planted a garden eastward and put the man he had formed into the garden. That is living, right? So that means in the new birth, right? In the new birth, what will man have? Or in the new birth, man is led. Do you see that? In the new birth, what you receive is God leading. He put man in the garden. Is that the indwelling? That is the indwelling. Did you see that? So what will you have in the new birth? God leading. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. So what will be that leading towards? Verse 15. And God took man and put him in the garden. To what? To dress and to keep it. The same word, dress, abad. To dress and to keep it, abad and shamar. The same word you will find for the priesthood or for the priestly ministry. Abad and shamar. To dress and keep it. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That means God's leading is towards the task in the earth. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 4 again. We said, in Cain and Abel also, we'll find God's functionality in his man. We'll find God's task for every man. But that of Cain rejected. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Okay, look at it. And Cain knew, in verses 2, and he began again and bought his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Did you see that? Abel was a keeper, raha, used for a shepherd, a pastor, poimen. When you speak the word poimen for, isn't that? A keeper of sheep. And who is Cain? Cain is a stealer, a bad. So Cain was to have the priestly ministry. Amen? Amen? What are you following me? Look at verse 16. I jumped too much. Okay, look at verse 9. And God said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Shamar. You see that? So that was a outright rejection of God's functionality for him. Amen? Hope you're following me. An outright rejection of God's functionality for him.
So you have to see that. So in Cain and Abel, you have God's functionality for man. For man to be his brother's keeper, and for that man to be pastor. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You find all that there. Glory to God. What are you following me? Glory, glory, glory. So, very vital. So we said the believer is well led, right? Right? Because what he has received is God's leading. So the believer doesn't lack leading. No. The believer doesn't have leading issues. No. Hallelujah. But when there's an issue, as I said, that issue will be recognizing and following the leading of the Spirit. Right? Recognizing and following. And we said in recognizing and following God's leading, the mind is very crucial in following the leading of the Spirit. What are we saying? Hallelujah. So we began looking at how to recognize the leading. We began looking at that and we said, you must understand the fact that the written word is God's leading. Hallelujah. The written word. You cannot follow the written word. You cannot say you know the written word, you stick to the written word and you don't know the leading of the Spirit. No. Hallelujah. Because the written word always God's leading to us. Hallelujah. You don't need someone to touch you. You don't need any other city. You don't need to hear any other voice in your ear. Or any other person to tell you, a child of God, a believer, should not get married to an unbeliever. Amen. It's written in the written word. It's there in the written word. Right? Uh-huh. So it's there. They say, what is God leading for me for my marriage? I can hear God telling me that sister that sister Billy Kichi is the one for me. Your head and your brain is misleading you. Because she's not a believer. So, you know, I told us about a sister that told me as her pastor that, sir, you have been too critical. Because you began to go out with one Abdul, I don't want to complete the name. Abdul, you can put the remaining. Amen. Yeah. I said, sister, what is this? He said, no, nah, a pastor. You know, when your brain is drowned with that thing called love, you some people get mental. They say, pastor, no, You are the one that tell us that God said we should go into all the world. How can you write this one off? What if this relationship will make him born again? I said the relationship that, the born again, he was not born again. Before the relationship, is this a relationship he will born again? Continue. I said, come on, girl. She didn't listen. But at the end, he's a man of God. When you go, he's a man of God. I said, pastor, I'm sorry, but I never knew that the lady girl was even trying to convert me. Cover her. I said, hey, look at your life. He was just back. Hallelujah. Come on. Sometimes you just know. Amen. A man who knows the written word, who stays with the written word, will know. The reason why you should move from one place to the other, your first focus should be your local church. The reason why you should take up that job, you must have ministry in mind. What are you following? We have taught that. It's declared. Because God's tax is towards his work in the earth. God's leading is towards his tax in the earth, his work in the earth. Amen. So the reason why you should take a job or not take a job, for example, I'm just giving an example because most of us are employable. So you know, there was a time when most of us were in the university, so it's not about university. It's the reason why you should take up. I don't know if you can remember that. The reason why you're going to school is not to go and read first. You make sure that you're going to school to do the work of ministry. I don't remember that. Oh, you thought it was a joke? That's a joke. That's God's leading. Hallelujah. That's God's leading. So you know that. Or we went to school, went to DNYC and came back. Amen. That's all the NYC. Picture we saw, nothing else. So we came back with results. You know, do you know, I said, I came back with results. I'm now plus one. Wonderful NYC. God bless you. Amen. So the first task is God's work in the earth. So that means the reason why you should take or accept or reject a job. Sometimes, if 100% of the time, it's not about the money. No! Or we'll go after money and forget the major reason. It's not about the money first. It's about God's task first in the earth. Remember I told us last week, I said, see, yeah, God will tell you to pick a job, maybe just because of one person in that organization that you need to save. And that one person will save millions. Hallelujah. God's task is, God's living is towards the task. He's not towards material things. No. Amen. He's towards that task. Nah, God led you to that job. Nah, I was doing the work of God. I was doing the work of God. And then God's task. I told you before, God's leading is not whether he's got nothing to do with whether you get sacked. He's got nothing to do with whether the company now falls up tomorrow. He's got nothing to do with it. He's consigning his back to the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Maybe just someone tells you you've got this there. That is God's back. Maybe the whole company, yes. Maybe, oh, because we wanted to go down and then I helped out, fine. But God's task is towards men in all the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you have to put that first at the center of your mind. That God's leading is towards his task. God can tell you to take up, for example, take up the job. No, I don't want to. I have prophesied. It's already working. Okay. So as easy can be to take up the job of a bricklayer. Yeah? He comes to a purpose. He says, ah, see. Share, you can hear me. I heard something from Pastor Shega and it was very instructive. He says, see, when it comes to God using you, must understand the meaning of God use me. He said, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Eh? To take the whole world out of the church. You know, use. You know how you use a book. Have you seen a used book before? You know when God uses you. You don't understand. God has used your life. You say, ah! God has used me. The car! God has used me. That is what it is. God used me. He's the passion on the earth. Hallelujah. Go to God. So I hunger and I burn for it. Use me, Lord. Amen. Not use me, Lord. Oh, you're on top of your bed. Man, so say, let that be. See, I've never preached. Lord, you taking me to the nations. And your nations is to Japan from Nigeria. Your use. It's not a use. You're just a selfish Christian. God use me for your task in the earth. Hallelujah. You know when you are done, when God uses you, when they look at your life, look at Paul. Look at Paul. We are reading about Paul today. Yes, thousands of years gone by. God used him. Hallelujah. Look at Paul, look at his pride. Look at Paul, look at his crown. You say, God really used this guy. A whole city. A whole nation. Amen. Amen. Not to say, I feel God is telling me to pick this job because you are seeing 700,000. Now, this time is just 150. No, sir. The Lord is telling you to pick one thing. You say, no. Sir, actually, sir, I see a greater, you know. you are not Christocentric. You say, sir. Now look at me. Maybe this one was 700,000. You're going to be the COO. And this one here, you're going to be a cleaner. Say, sir. No, sir. Sir, I believe that you in the grand scheme of things, sir. Sir, in the grand scheme of things, sir, as a COO, I can influence more people. But as a cleaner, I can influence more people. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Help me, I'm following you. Glory to God. You don't know better than the leader. God is the leader. Amen. So you follow him. Glory to God. You follow him. You follow him. It's not about money. Dollar. God is not. Thank God I didn't say it. God is not into biru the change. Yeah. Dollar. Not only dollar. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, wait. So we're left via the written word, right? So the written word will agree with the Spirit. Will agree with the Spirit. So we say we can recognize God's leading via your pastor. Your pastor. So we hear the word my poimen. My pastor. My poimen, my pastor. It has the root, the background from where? Genesis. Hallelujah. My pastor. So God will lead you via your pastor. And very vital. When we will look at all these as we progress, you know, we'll have to look at them again from another angle. Hallelujah. Your pastor. Your pastor. So that means to honor your pastor is to honor God. Amen? Some other things we'll look at as we go further. The same thing too, we're also led via offerings. Offerings.
Offerings of
fellow believers. Take note of this. As we get towards believers' convention too, I'll pick it up. In the same teaching, though, I'll pick it up again. But listen to a few things I'll say as regards utterance. So let's hear utterance. So when you hear utterance, the background will be God's Nabi, which is God's prophet. The background will be God's prophet in the Old Testament book. God's prophet. God's spokesman. In Genesis 20 verse 7, we saw that Abraham is God's Nabi. God's prophet. God's prophet. God's spokesman. Abraham is is called God's prophet. In Exodus 7, look at verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. This is that Abraham. So Moses, Aaron will be Moses' prophet. Moses' Nabi. So what will he do? Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he send the children of Israel out of Israel. So that's how prophet work. God speaks, and the prophet speaks to the people. Amen? Okay, following me. So the prophet, so Aaron as Moses' prophet will speak Moses' words to Pharaoh. So a prophet is a spokesperson. Is a spokesperson. Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 3. So you know a prophet by what he says. Right? Right? They be a dreamer of dream of a prophet, or a prophet says, and you know, so he gives a prophecy, gives a dream, and then he tells you, go after other gods. You shall not listen to him because of what he says. So a prophet is known by what he says. Look at Numbers. Very important. So look at Numbers 11:29. Very vital what Moses said. So this will be God's main plan. Though they have prophets, right? But God's plan in the grand scheme of things. Amen. You know what grand scheme of things is? Ask Pastor Epele. You don't know who Pastor Epele is? You don't know? You don't know who Pastor Epele is? Oh no, Pastor Emma Bini. You don't know who Pastor Emma Bini is? You know who Pastor Emma Bini is? You know? Amen. You don't know. It's a Greek word. So a Latin name that looks like fat. It's a new name. Why? By his side. God's battle axe. I have God's battle axe, I have Pastor Emma Bini. I'm moving further. Hallelujah. Hope you are recording it. Hope it's recorded. God bless your soul. Amen. Let's continue. If you remove it. Now, you know I listen to my messages. If you remove it. You can remove this part. This one I just said now. But the one that I said before, if you remove it. I'll come after your faith. Glory to God. That they will remind their generations and generations that they will do, ah, when people say Pastor Man Bini, it was new. Okay. 29. What? Numbers 11, 29. Then Moses said unto him, which is talking to, was talking to Joshua. Now, they were prophesying, and some other people were prophesying in the camp, and Joshua came and said, Moses, as we were prophesying, some people were prophesying in the camp. And Moses said, enviest thou for my sake? Look at verse 29. Say, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were what? And the Lord will put his spirit upon them. Did you see that? Now when you now read Joel, say, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Is it from here? It will be from Moses. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. He said, with God, that all his people were prophets. So God's plan is for all, or I have in my notes, God's bigger plan is for his people to be his spokespersons. Spoke people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His people will be his spokesmen everywhere in the world. Hallelujah. That is God's plan. Glory to God. That is God's plan. And here it deals with functionality. Glory to God. Amen? So look at, very vital. So look at how they were led in their world. In their world. In 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 28 verse 6. Look at how they were led in their world. 1 Samuel 28 verse 6. It says, and Saul inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, so they were led by dreams, which is visions. Did you see that? Led by dreams, visions. Nor by Urim. Did you see that? Nor by prophets. Did you see that? So they were led by visions, by Urim, and by prophets. Did you see that? So they were led by prophets, by God's spokesman. Amen. Amen. So when you now read Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, from verses 26, let's get to 1 Corinthians 14, 26. First Corinthians 14, are you there from verse 26? He said, and how is it there, brother, when you come together and every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation, say, let all things be done unto edifying. For if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You now say verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Look at verse 32. It says, and the spirit of the prophet has spoken to the prophet. Who was referring to as prophet? The man that does what? That speaks and interprets. Right? Right? Hallelujah. He calls the believer with utterance a prophet. Hallelujah. Amen? So, that means we can receive, so remember it's for the edifying of the church. Glory to God. So we can receive God's leading via utterance. We're following it. Via utterance. Via utterance. Look at something here. In just look ahead in Acts 11, 28, and we'll see that again. Acts 11, 28, and we're coming back there. I just want to show you something. Acts 11, 28 and Acts 21, verse 10. I mean verse 12. Sorry. Verse 10. Acts 21, 10. Acts 11, 28. Let's see this.
See, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. Agabus, did you see that? And signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Did you see that? Agabus stood and spoke by the Spirit concerning what will happen. So look at chapter 21 verse 10. And remember, he spoke by the Spirit. You see that concerning what will happen, he spoke utterance, right? Right? Look at chapter 21 verse 10. It says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named who? Was he called a prophet in chapter 11? Was he called a prophet in chapter 11? No. Now, why did Luke now call him prophet here? He called him prophet so that you can trace him, so that you can trace it back to Acts 11 when he spoke by the Spirit. You see that? Are you following me? Amen? Glory to God. He can trace it back. Oh, this was when he spoke by the Spirit. So, that speaking by the Spirit was why he referred to him here again as prophet. You see that? So you could trace it back. Amen? Amen? Uh-huh. Alright. Ah! Agabus took, or his mouth, he had a prophet. Let me not say something. Let me just be calm. Amen. So you could trace that back to, what are you following me? That he spoke. So that speaking was why he called him prophet. Did you see that? Amen? So Luke will write just like Paul. You know, he's Paul's student. Amen. So he picks that from Paul. The man that speaks by the Spirit. At that point of speaking. And now he called him prophet there because he was doing what he was doing again by the Spirit and speaking by the Spirit. Okay, following that. Uh-huh. Glory to God. So let's go further. So if you look at that Acts 11, 28 very well. Go back to that Acts 11. So he spoke by the Spirit. Right? Right? So that means there are times where what he said by the Spirit was revealing a fact. So many times facts are received concerning a leading via utterance. Facts concerning a leading are revealed via utterance. Amen. Glory to God. It might not necessarily be the leading in itself, but it can be fact about a leading that you've received already. Amen. It can be fact. Sometimes it can be confirmation. We're going to get to deal with confirmations in this series. So that is why I said we are still on till last week. Or thank God, during Believers Convention, Saints Community Church, we start on Friday. So we'll have Thursday service like this. Amen. Glory to God. So we are not missing any Thursday service till our Believers Convention week. Amen. So we'll round up. We'll close it up. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll have a lot to see. Confirmation and things like that. But what he said there was, he spoke by the Spirit concerning a fact. Look at verses 29. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwell in Judea. But what he said, was it concerning Judea or world? The world. But they sent relief material. He didn't tell them to send relief material. Did he tell them, say we leave material to Judah? No. But he gave by the Spirit facts about a lady. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the disciples, when he said the disciples determined, that word determined is the Greek word horizo, which means to map out a plan. To mark out a plan. Do you see that? How you map out a boundary, a plan, they map out a plan, and they say we leave material to Judah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. So, what is there is that the prophecy was not the leading, but a fact about it. Was a fact about what was going to happen. So, what was the leading? There was a fact that there was going to be drought, so now they were now led to send relief material where? To Judah. Hope you are following me. Okay, follow me. So sometimes something can be revealed via utterance. Eh? But you are not led to do something because of what has been revealed. Hope you are following me. Hope you are getting me. Eh? Something has been revealed. There's going to be a drought. And you are now being led. Send materials to a certain place or do something because of what has been revealed. Amen? Amen? We'll see something else shortly. Look at that Acts 21. I mean that Acts 21 verse 10. Now, they came... Agabus in verse 10. Agabus, right? Verse 11, and he came unto us and took Paul's griddle. He didn't know that was Paul's griddle. Right? He just picked it. He didn't know it was Paul's own. So he picked it by the Spirit and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jew at Jerusalem bind the man who that owned this griddle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Did you see that? He said it by the Spirit. He got into the house of Philip where they were and he took up Paul's griddle, not knowing it was Paul's own. You get me? He did do it was Paul's own. Glory to God. So he tied it on his hand and said, "So shall the Jews bound this man in Jerusalem and deliver him up to the Gentiles." Right? So that will be fact again about the leading. That will be fact about the leading. And what was the leading? Paul was going to Jerusalem. Paul was led to Jerusalem. Right? Paul was led to Jerusalem. And this is a fact about it being revealed. Glory to God. This is a fact about it being revealed. Something you will see that happened in verse 12. Those who heard it in verse 12, look at what they did in verse 12. We'll deal with this as we get prepared for your believer convention, but I thought it was wise to show. Look at verse 12. And when we heard these things, including Luke, both we and they that of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And they began to beg him, "Paul, please don't go." You know those emotions. "No, please don't go. No, please. You are not being led." You know, put it this way. They that heard it felt that was the leading. Hold on, they felt God is saying Paul shouldn't go. You know, you could miss God's direction like that. People's emotions. We're going to deal with all that. Amen? Amen? You could miss it. Sometimes, even not even seeing the emotions of people, just because somebody has given you, now maybe a fact of what God has been telling you about, and you now miss the whole thing. Glory to God. You could. Just look at what they were doing. They were not begging Paul, "Please do not go." Ah, they said they will kill you, they will deliver you. Ah! "Don't go, Pastor Babin, please don't go." Yeah? Glory to God. Glory to God. "Please don't go, sir." Ah. Glory to God. No. Sometimes people can apply emotion. But that was the fact about the living. Look at what Paul said. But because Paul understood what was happening. Look at what Paul said. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, verses 22. It says, "Now behold." Look at chapter 20, verse 22. It says, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, bonds and affliction abide me." Did you see that? So, Paul already knew that's what Agabus was saying is fact about the leading. What they were saying as utterance was fact about the leading. Hallelujah. With their emotions and everything, they will be, we know. But he said, "Nevertheless, I go." Hallelujah. See, I go bound in the Spirit. We're going to start dealing with that from next week. Bound in the Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit. It's not like there was chain in his hand in the Spirit and the Spirit now chained his hand. No. I go, it's an expression in the Spirit, right? It's an expression that we'll receive. He says, I go bound, compelled in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I go compelled in the Spirit. But he says,
So that means he's going with full knowledge that they will catch him. Right? But he is going compelled. Why? Because the leading is towards God's path. Amen. Was he arrested? He was. Did they deliver him? They did. But did he win souls massively? That is God's task in the earth. You see that? So it's not about it's going to end up happily. He did end up happily. Because the satisfaction of being God's task is happiness. It's the joy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Have the joy. Have the joy. Or did they flog him? They did. Was he weep? They almost killed him. But did he do the work? He did. Glory to God. Hope you're following that. That is God's task in the earth. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. So, go back to that chapter 21. Look at Paul's response to them in verse 13. He said, and Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? What mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am not ready, and for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Did you see that? Why would he respond this way? That response, his response is not stubbornness, so no. No. But his response was that he obeyed God. He rather obeyed God. Right? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. How about in my notes? What he has done is the same thing he did in Acts 16. What he has done was the same thing he did in Acts 16. Look at Acts 16 from verse 7. And it's also very important. There's an intelligence to the leading of the Spirit. Following God's leading. There's an intelligence to it. Hallelujah. There's an intelligence to it. Lord of God, look at Acts 16, verse 7. It is after they were come to Mysia. Okay, the time of verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they come to Mysia, they ascended into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Did you see that? As they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. They stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him saying, come over on into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when they use the word assuredly gathering, so that means the word assuredly gathering is the word in the Greek sombabizo. Sombabizo. It means to bring things together. To bring things together. So that means they had rejection, they had leadings not to go to somewhere, and then they saw a vision come to us and things like that. So what did they do? They saw that, okay, they brought everything together. The Lord said we shouldn't go to Asia, we shouldn't go to this place and this place, and now we see this. So they brought everything together and they were able to say, oh, God is leading us to Macedonia. Did you see that? Amen? So this is what every believer must do. Amen. So many a times, when you have a leading, many a times, you just have to stay back and allow the one leading you to lead. Amen? Amen? You can't be slower than God and miss God. But you can be too fast and miss God. Amen? You can't be slower than God and miss God. So, getting slower, it does not mean you don't abandon them. We're going to, that is why I say we're going to deal with those things. Hallelujah. I have all them down ready for us. Amen. Glory to God. But you can't be slower than God and miss God. In fact, you can't be praying and miss God. You can't be praying and miss God. I say, as I was praying, I missed it. No! No! In fact, some things we saw, you know, I told us that it's not that we were not led to do some of the things we did earlier on in ministry. We were. but we were a bit too fast. Now he told us that SOA was a bit too fast. Glory to God. But we led, we were. Glory to God. But it was a bit. So most times then, some things you are seeing might be seen for another 10 years. Amen. For another 15 years. But you are jumping on it immediately. Sometimes when God is showing you that, you begin to pray about it. You pray about it in 2 years. Amen. Amen. That for our mission, do you think we are not led? Or you think he's gone? No. No. When it's time for us to go, everybody will agree. Ah, this is the time, sir. Let's move. Amen. It's not that. It's not that. We still prayed about it all in prayer retreat, right? Oh, you didn't know you prayed about it. We did. Hallelujah. We did. I still prayed about it. I still prayed about it this week. Hallelujah. Because you can't be slower than God and miss God. Never. Amen. Who's supposed to be in front? The leader or the leader? So you can't be slower than God and miss him. But you can be fast and miss him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, talk to us even about daily devotion and writing. Yeah? What was it? Understanding authority. Is that not what we are teaching? But we were quick. You can't be faster than God and not missing. You missing. Amen. Can't be faster than him and not missing. Quick. No, now. Calm down. Eh? Glory to God. Remember I told us that this year we'll pick back our publication writings. I told us, right? We're picking it back, right? Did I tell us? Yeah, I did now. We're picking it back. Those publications, weekly publications, we're picking it back. Amen. We left it off. That was 20. Last one I saw was 2015, right? That's 2014 or 2015. We're picking it back. But why would we leave off? Well, see, we were too fast. Go. I just too fast. Glory to God. But we're going to do this. We were led to do them. We're not replicating somebody else. No, we're led to do them. I suddenly got them. We're led to do them. But you can't be faster than God. What are you following me? Yes. Let's write book. Me. Never. Not now. Not now. I will cast and bind you. So there was a time I wanted to, right? But I want to produce this book. Who would have bought it? Maybe Pastor Emadinu and Tega and Pastor Garba. So don't carry Pastor Garba, your pastor, was telling me how some of our old devotionals in his house. He was willing to sell, oh. He kept it. Committed brother. Did not say. Amen. But the time will come. Hallelujah. Thank God. No, we had testimonies, right? From our daily devotionals, then we have testimonies. But that wasn't still the right time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, follow me. So the believer must learn to gather. Just like what Paul did, gather this. You must know what is the fact of the living. Hallelujah. Fact of the living and things like that. Glory to God. Because Paul knew, Paul's leading was from his spirit. He knew. I'm God-bound in the spirit. So Paul's leading was from the spirit. Let's begin to close down. So when he says, from the spirit, so that means a vital way we are led also, recognizing the leading, is from our spirit. We are led from our spirit. When we are led from our spirit, what will be the background? Let me see who has been following us. What will be the background of led from our spirit? You know, I showed the background for the pastor, right? Ra, Abel. Background for written word. You saw it, right? We saw background for utterance. What's the background for we are led from our spirit? What will be the background in scripture? Eh? What is it? What's it? This is Induele. How be the background in the Old Testament book? That's what I mean. They say it's Egypt. No. Can't be Egypt. The Urim and the Turim. How be the background? Hallelujah. I know I didn't put it like that there last week and last week, but that's just it. How about the background? I explained it as guesswork, right? I explained it from guesswork, but I said something towards the end. That God wants to lead us like that from our spirit. So we have the Urim and the Thummim. Right? So the background I have there, the background will be the casting of lots. So you cast lots. Using the Urim and the Thummim. So we said God had to accommodate their culture. Right? So the Urim and Thummim was obtainable in their culture, in their world. So the Urim and Thummim was very accurate. Because like, they use it for the way that you consult deities that is not even Jehovah. It's just like you go, people will use calabash and do Obankrio, sorry, something like that. You know those things? You've acted that thing before now. Oh yeah, take this. The gods will say something like that. We are used to Nollywood. Amen. Amen. So, something like that. So, God now borrows that kind of culture. Ah! Long suffering of the Lord. He borrowed that culture for a reason. Hallelujah. Yeah, so you have to accommodate that culture till the redemption. Remember we said the incarnation, the day of Christ is called the end of the world, right? It's called the end of the world, right? Right? Is that what we said? The fullness of time, right? Right? Okay. The fulfillment of things. So, we said the lot casting was accurate. God will instruct that the effort which had the Urim and the Thummim be placed on the heart. We saw all that. Hallelujah. Let's run through some scriptures on that. So, Exodus 28 verse 30. Who will wear it? Who will wear the Urim and the Thummim? Aaron. Exodus 28 verse 30. So, Exodus 28 verse 30. And thou shalt put the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and Thummim, and thou shalt, and they shall be on Aaron's heart. This is that when goeth forth before the Lord. So on Aaron's heart. Who is Aaron? The priest. This is that Aaron the priest. This is that Aaron's heart. So what was God? What is God's greater plan? All his children be priests. That be God's plan is that all his children would have the Urim and Thummim. Now when he uses it, when he says place it on their heart, on his heart, heart will be referring to the spirit. This is that. So the Urim and Thummim is for judgment. Leading. Amen. Amen. So things you have. So you have casting of lot. You have it in Leviticus 8:5-8. Take that down. Urim and Thummim, Numbers 27:21, won by the priest. Deuteronomy 33 verse 8. Exodus 19:6 is God wants us to be priests. You see that? Hallelujah. Very vital. Amen. So, when you talk about casting of lots, to show you that it was not in their world. I mean, it was not the practice. It was God didn't invent it. You have it in Jonah 1:7 and it was accurate. Right? They casted lots and they catch Jonah. Amen. So, furthermore, God will accommodate it in Leviticus 8, Leviticus 16:8-10, Numbers 26, Numbers 26, 55-56, Numbers 33:54, Numbers 34:13, Numbers 36:2-3, Joshua 14:2, 15:1, 16:2. That's it. So, casting of lots. So, God will instruct that the effort be, that had the Urim and Thummim be worn on their hearts, right? Right?
to show that God wants to lead us from within, from the Spirit. So primarily, God leads us from the Spirit. Primarily, God leads us from the Spirit. God leads us from the Spirit. Remember, don't forget it. God leads us from the Spirit. Remember, I bring this again to your mind. The written word, the words from your pastor, utterance, are informations of the Spirit made available to your mind. Right? Right? They're informations of the Spirit. So the written words are informations of the Spirit written for your mind to comprehend. So they are still informations of the Spirit. Your pastor's words are spirits. Right? Like that. Utterances are words of the Spirit also. So don't miss all that else. So God wants us to be led primarily from or by the Spirit from within. God wants us to be led from within. So look at Paul. Paul in Romans 8. I need to get here before we close today. Most assuredly. Romans 8. This was where we stopped last week. That is why I don't want to stop like that today. Yeah. Romans 8. Verses 15. Romans 8:15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Did you see that? So bears witness. So Paul says, the Spirit bears witness. We are led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, are the children of God, or are the sons of God. Then the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now the word bears witness is the word somaterio. Somaterio. S-U-M-M-A-R-T-E-T-U-R-E-O. Somaterio. Is used for a joint witness. To be involved in a witness. Some means addition together. Witness together. Amen? Joint witness. Witness together. The word somaterio was used by Paul in Romans 2:15, Romans 9:1 for a joint witness of a man's thought and conscience. For in Revelation 22 verse 18, joint witness also. Testify. That's the word testify. Revelation 22:18. So, when you use this word, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Where is that? An inward witness. Is this that? Talking about an inward witness. So there's an inward witness that every believer has. Hallelujah. The Spirit bears witness. So we have this joint witness of the Spirit of God in our spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now when you use the word somaterio, now when you use the word witness, when he says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, it's not a vocal witness. No. It's more of an emotion. We'll deal with all that next week. It's more of an emotion. Hallelujah. Emotion. I have it like this. That implies, as a believer, we have the Spirit's emotions. Hallelujah. The Spirit's emotions. Concerning things. Concerning facts. Concerning facts. The Spirit's emotions. Just like today, I got a call from someone. The person is... Okay, let me see. Got a call from someone and the person was telling me about a CV that he got and that he has sought for two companies, and he mentioned the two, one property company looking for people to help them start their credit process, and one in fintech. And I said, he thought he could get me, asked me how much am I looking at, I said $1 million, I just wanted to discharge it. He said exactly what they want to pay. My head, I say confirm. I say right on, fire down. I told him fire down. He kept talking. I don't know. I say sir, sorry to disappoint you. I'm not interested. I just need. It's not. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to think about it. I don't think I need to think about it. I just think I need to think about it. It's not about the money.
But you know, he kept talking. I asked him for details. He called me for about 20-something minutes. He was explaining twice. That call I did, that call twice. He kept explaining and said, "You see, you know what, sir? I'm not interested. I'm not convinced by my form, my spirit." Because the moment I told him, "Let me think about it," he said, "No, sometimes I need your expertise." And I said, "I'm not convinced. Take care." "Should I put you in care?" I said, "Please do. But I'm not really convinced." He said, "Okay, I'm giving you 8. I said, "Look, no problem. I'll get back to you by 8. I know I'll be preaching." I'm convinced. Is it that I want to leave? I want to check out, like, tomorrow. But you know what? I don't just jump into anything. No, now. Amen. It looks appetizing. You know what I'm saying? Ah, that is the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? The master tell him, yeah, they'll take it or something. I know. I want it. But you know what? No. It is beyond that. Do you understand? It's beyond that. Seriously, I knew it. Before, when I called the car, I was like, I thought about that thing. No, I'm not convinced. No. The money is tempting you. The money is there. Amen. It's not that I was speaking about it. I wouldn't have said it to anybody. The body was there. It was tempting. What the F? Bah! I said, what is that? Tempting, but no. 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 Amen. I just knew it was nothing. Not the one that you're not going to become one thing somewhere. You're not going to be having time to come to church. Believers convention time, you know, you will not see me. You have to say, "Hey, where is pastor? Is he faith? He has left it." So I had that faith. Anyway, so most times, those emotions, sometimes people just ignore it. People just ignore it. But you must have changed your spirit way to know. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just you must have changed your spirit way to know. That's why I said, you don't need leading of the Spirit when you are now, you don't need the teaching of the leading of, concerning the Spirit when you are now in that box. You know, you are now there, not the one where you say, you know what, sir, let me listen to, to listen to the leading of the Spirit, he must perception that I will understand how to apply. No. And that you must always feed yourself with God's word. Amen. You must not be a man of prayer. Most times when those things come, you just, this is it. You know, you can say to someone, "This is it." Amen. And this is it. See, even if you go ahead to take it, and you walk, and you're not enjoying, I said this now. This is God's plan. See, God's plan is not towards money. They might not sack you there. In fact, you might be there for 10 years. The driving car, flashy car. You might be there 10 years. Your bank account is now hitting billions. You're not called the next big boy. But you know what? You're not fulfilled. Amen. So you know, you must always know that. It is when you see God leading outside his work in the earth, you miss a lot of things. Some people think God is leading them only when they can buy good cars, start building their house. They say, "Hey, can't you see God is leading me?" Pasheko said something one time. Listen, look up here, everybody. Pasheko said something one time that he got an invitation. Yeah, to come and preach in Eastern Africa. Yeah, Southern Africa. Not Eastern, Southern Africa. So, he took up, he had a flight. He said, it was this flight. He got there. So as he got to Southern Africa, he said he then knew that God now told him, "I didn't send you." But he was there. I have come to preach, man of God. The Lord was clear. God didn't send me. I didn't see the follow the leading. But he got there. He said, "Nevertheless, I don't come." He said, "I don't come." As he went to preach. Preach! You know? And you know what? It was a blessing. Amen. It was a successful message. A wonderful. And he came back. But he knew God didn't send it. Amen. He said, when he came, one brother came to meet him with utterance. He said, "See, as he traveled to Southern Africa," he said, "the Holy Ghost told him. Told him, the guy, I said, the Holy Ghost told him, can't you see Onoinka
He's fulfilling God's dream for, he's fulfilling my dream for his life. And he himself that went said the Lord told him that he did not send him. I will deal with that when we get to utterance.
So there are some things we need to get.
Emotions. That brother had emotions. Some people will perceive that, God is leading him. Look at his car. Man of God car. You know that's a car, man of God car. Not my own kind of car. You know my own kind of car. He said, he's still coming up in ministry. You know that's a car. He said, man of God car. He said, sir, I can see God. Whatever I tell you, I can see God to walk in your life. He's manifested in your car. His car that I tried to play. And you think God is leading you. Some people, that's how they perceive God's leading. And you're no longer paying rent, you're now collecting rent. Hey, God is leading you. So remember, I think collecting, I still paying rent, God is not leading me. No. You are missing. Because people are not taught well. Hallelujah. So every believer has God's inward witness. Have the witness of God's Spirit. I love how Pastor Shegun would define it. He calls it the witness of the Spirit of the, the witness of the Spirit of the man born again. He that endorses, refutes, accepts, rejects facts that are exposed to it. Facts. You have to expose facts to it. We're going to look at how to expose facts to the inward witness. And then just like you expose two alternatives with the Urim and Thummim, do you have a go or do not to go? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. You have those things. So we have the witness of God's Spirit. And the witness of the Spirit of the man born again. Have that witness. Hallelujah. You're just there. Sometimes you don't know why, but God has a reason for it. Amen. You just say, I told him if there are better offers. Say, any other offers you have? He said, do you have more? Would you need to me to contact you for offers that are financially related? I said, yes. Within that price range, I said, yes, within that price range, even if it's lower, should the case go see again this hour? You know, I can consider it a different. Same thing, but he said, think about it. Think about it, sir. Your CV matches it 100%. Thank you, sir. It's a good CV. You know, we can work CV. Don't try me on that. We can work any CV. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. He matches it, but it's not possible, sir. Go again, it's not possible. Now you are not some money. Hallelujah. To a child of God. Amen. A child of God. Right? It's like you don't always, you must always say to yourself consistently and always. Remember I said to you, what you feed your mind with. I was trying to end all my series, all my teaching on this subject with this. Your mind is very vital. You have to feed your mind right. Remember, you need your mind to follow God's leading. I always say it. Said it last week, I'm saying it again. Feed your mind right. You feed your mind with it's only money. You know, people say, my name is Monica. I am only attracted to money. Your mind will feed it. Once you hear 10 naira, 50 and 100, once you just say you're earning 100,000 and you hear this job is for 400,000, you say Maya, yeah. You speak in tongues first. Because God, that's how you configure your mind. It's money. And some people will not deceive themselves. It's deceiving yourself. They say, sir, I can give. That is the difference. I can now I'm too kissed that I can be giving big. Yeah, you do not give when you're collecting 10 naira. When you're collecting 400, you want to give. Nonsense. Let you give. Give yourself. Amen. Amen. A man who is earning 50,000 and does not give in church and is telling you when I'm earning 400 I'll be giving big time. When I'm earning 400 will not see him in church at all. I'm saying it from experience. I'm saying it from facts. Amen. So let's see you committed when you're earning 20,000. When we see that commitment, we'll know that if you collect is that earning 500 you'll still be committed. No, you're not committed on 20,000. Well, this job, why I took it because I want to be giving for believers conventions now we'll buy. But somebody has told me that. Somebody has told me that. And I canceled the person in church today. He said, when I take that job, if I you wanted to take a job one time, he never took the job after which he left the job. It was a contract job for a while. He said, when I begin to collect my money, then they were not owing me for some money. He said, when the money comes in, we're going to change our venue. We're going to look for land. So let's begin to look for land.
As a pastor, you should be ready for all those things. People will raise your hope. They start with feel and let them say hi. You do not give when you were earning 20,000. Now you are earning 100,000.
Nonsense.
Amen. So as your pastor will have shock absorber. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So your mind. Okay, you're hearing me, your mind. Because very vital, what you feed your mind with. Feed your mind with God's word. Always. 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 Remember we said your mind, as you get preparing for believer's salvation, we say your mind should be God's holy ground. You should keep your mind holy. Right? Keep your mind holy. Just like Jesus, when he goes to the house of Jairus, he sent those who were wailing and laughing, send them away. You have to keep your room holy. You have to keep your room clean. Keep your mind clean. Because your mind, Proverbs 3, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Referring to your mind. It says, for out of it are the issues that govern life. Issues that govern life. So keep your mind holy. Try to keep my mind holy. Yeah. Amen. So how do you keep your mind holy? Say the right words. I'm not confused. I don't lose. I'm born of God. I'm born of the world. Say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. I'm not confused. I don't lose. I don't lose out. I have God's word. I have the Spirit of God. I'm well led. Let's be on our feet.